Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Joining us now, as he does each and every week at this time, looking forward to our visits with Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons. He joins us now. Good morning, Joel.
Mike, hold on yeah, real quick. Yeah, yeah. I'm on an eBay auction, and the clock is ticking down. I'm trying to buy those two timeouts. Vic Fangio is trying to sell them on eBay. Hold on.
What were they going for?
Apparently, in his mind, billions of dollars, since he saved them for no reason. For goodness' sake!
Oh, this is good.
The best end of clock management you've ever seen, or top 10? Where do you rank that?
It was really bad. Obviously, it's always going to be magnified if you have a really bad clock blunder and you have the football, right? And so I think a lot of times what we don't recognize is how teams are managing the clock when they don't have the football, as was the case there. You know what I do think about, and we probably would have roasted him for a long time, but Bill Belichick used the same theory against Seattle in the Super Bowl, if you remember, and he just wouldn't take a timeout, and he almost baited Seattle into the poor decision to throw the football, then Butler intercepts it, and all is well. But the problem for Denver is, and I guess all's well that ends well in that case, but I thought Belichick should have taken a timeout in that Super Bowl, and certainly it was a much different case on Monday night with Denver, because he could have saved a full minute on the clock if he would have just taken his timeouts. And I got to tell you, man, that was – I felt bad for Brian and Lewis up in the booth, because at some point, Mark, you sit up there and there can be a creep of doubt. Like, you're like, wait, am I not thinking of something here?
Right.
This he's a head coach in the National Football League. Shouldn't he know better? And you're like, wait, should I know better? Is this some super – secret, double secret probation strategy that I've never even seen before? Is this Mr. Miyagi stuff? No, it was just stupid. Thanks for saving all your timeouts for the last 17 seconds.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was horrendous. And it led me today, to think, and as Mike and I were talking, what do you do? So if you're Vic Fangio, because one, we have seen his defense. This is what he is supposed to be, like a supreme defensive coordinator that came over to take over the head coaching job with the most expensive or the highest paid defense in the National Football League. And we saw several, last minute drives last year where the defense was on the field and gave up a lead and gave up the score. We saw it again last night, or Monday night. So I guess my question to you is, what do you do? Do you turn it over to your defensive coordinator? Do you get somebody else to manage the clock for you as a head coach if it's that important for you to call plays? I mean, where would you go? Because something obviously has to be looked at in that regard.
Yeah, I think that there are several really good points that you made. Let me try my best to kind of touch on all of them. Let me touch first on this whole, blueprint, right? And I talk a lot about it. You and I are on the same page on this. The Broncos are clearly trying to use a very specific blueprint and win with defense. Highest cap number as a percentage of the overall salary cap of any team in the NFL spent on their defense, the defensive coordinator as their head coach. And yes, you are right. Last year and now the first game this year, it feels like the defense is in a position to potentially stand up and be that great defense and win a football game for you, and they're unable to do so. I do think that without Vaughn on the field, it becomes tougher, because one of the things, Mark, and this as an offensive lineman in particular, one of the things that a defense has to have to close out the game, and this is what Bill Walsh used to talk about, is a great pass rush. You know, you can't just be a really good, stout defensive unit and think that you're going to hold up late in the ball game, because the rules are just not made for you to succeed, right? This is not a league that wants defenses to be the star. And so in particular, late in the game with pass interference rules and illegal contact rules and everything going on, I think it's really difficult unless you have the closer to get to the quarterback and prevent the opposing team from sitting back there and throwing the football. So that's number one. And number two, when you're talking about the coaching staff in general, if you're going to be a play caller as a head coach, either side of the football, I think that you are at least admitting in part that you're not going to be able to manage the entire game. I talk about this with college guys all the time who call their own plays. I have long conversations with Ryan Day and Lincoln Riley about this. You have to, and they do, designate people within the coaching staff that are in the box that override you when it comes to game management at points. It doesn't mean that anybody can shout at you to take a timeout, but there is the one person that has the one job that is an expert in clock management, timeout usage, whatever it is, you know, field goal, like kick it, go for it situations, that you have somebody that you trust that can override you, because quite simply, guys, it's too much for one human to do. And I know that sounds totally stupid, but it is. In the heat of the moment, it's really tough to be the 30,000-foot game manager and the minutia single-play game caller on either side of the football. So I think that presents a very precarious situation for someone to be in. And you've got to have somebody that sits there and yells, time out, and somebody takes it. And that's the other part. Like, in college, I kind of understand it, because as a college player, you would certainly not call a timeout, although I would. I didn't really care if your coach wasn't signaling for a timeout. But in the NFL, you spend over 60% of your money on your defense. Somebody out there should have just turned to the official and called a timeout and looked at Vic Fangio and been like, what? You know, like, somebody needs to know better. Are you kidding me? It doesn't have to just be the head coach. Somebody call a timeout. You basically just sat there and allowed the game to end for no reason.
Visit with Joel Klatz. Joel, early impressions of a Pat Shurmur called Drew Lock led offense.
It was okay. I despise the shovel pass in all of its forms. I mean, despise it. When you call it, in particular, inside the 5-yard line, there's absolutely, you know, part of what makes the shovel pass, I guess, okay in the normal course of play is that there is some element of deception for the second level and the edge defender. And when you get inside of the 5-yard line, as Mark will attest to, they're just too much in attacking mode. Therefore, the level of deception is not there. You can't stretch them out in order to create a seam, right? You can't keep the second level at the second level in order to get a double team or a single like scoop block on the backside up to the back level, to the second level. Those are things that become nearly, if not completely, impossible inside the 5-yard line. And some people are saying like, well, I see college teams do it all the time. Yes, but the margin between the good athletes and the bad athletes in college football field is so much greater. In the NFL, you get inside the 5-yard line, try to run a shovel pass. I mean, good luck. I just don't think it works. So I know that that's a single play call, but it was an important play call and it didn't go their way. And ultimately they lost the football game by two, and they lost a football game in which the opposing kicker missed 1,000 kicks. Like, guys, this is not a good omen for this season. I didn't come away with that with any, you know, positives, to be quite honest with you. I thought that the play calling at times was grab bag. I thought that Drew Lock played okay. It looked like a really young offense that was going to make a lot of mistakes, and I think that there's going to be a lot of games during the course of the season that we see this offense sputter out. Positive drive, two or three, three and outs. Positive drive, two or three, three and outs. But I was frustrated with that shovel pass. It's such a dumb play.
Yeah, well,
I just hate it, Joel, in the college game,
the hash marks make it where you have a wide side, you can spread people out. It's different in the NFL.
Right.
There's no question about that. But it was like an emeritus play. They let Rick Scangarello, I believe, call that play from last year. So it was one of those things. Oh. Hey, we're sorry we fired you. You get any play in a critical situation on fourth down, and he picked the shovel pass naturally, and that's what ended up happening. Hey, you mentioned Drew Lock. Let me ask you this, because the things that were concerning to me is he missed throws you can't miss. He missed that third down throw down the sideline where
Hamilton.
Hamilton. I mean, Hamilton stacked the DB. He had him by 3 yards. And you know,
a great route.
Right, ran a great route. You either put that on the money, or even if you throw it short, at least you draw a pass interference play. Like, you cannot. That's a throw that has to be made 100 out of 100 times by an NFL quarterback. There's a couple throws in the game that really concerned me that way because they were set up perfectly and they have to be executed. What did you see from Drew Lock in regards to his execution and some of the schematic stuff?
Yeah, same. I think that what has concerned me for a long time is that, and you hear me talk about this all the time too, I feel like I always come back to like the same fundamentals. Mark, whenever I talk about quarterback play, whether it's the draft or even when I'm talking about the great players in the NFL, really when it comes down to it, it's really about two things. Is the ball on time and on target? And one of the things that I've struggled with at times with Drew is that you can get enamored with a lot of the things about his game, but his accuracy can be an issue. The on-target piece of that can be frustrating at times. And when it rears its head at inopportune times like third down, and I totally agree with you, that's a throw that has to be made. You know why I'm sitting here right now? Because I didn't make throws like that, right? Like, that's a throw that creates a not-for-long type of situation for you as a quarterback, no matter what your talent is. And the on-target piece is problematic. I've always thought that his footwork was not great. You can get away with that if you have an elite arm talent, and that arm talent then would create that on-time and on-target regardless of what your feet are doing. Now, if you don't have that elite arm, what you need to do is have a great foundation with your feet. You got to keep the clock in your feet so that you can be on time, and then the foundation of the way that you throw will allow you to throw the football accurately down the field, which creates the on-target. Those are things that I think he has struggled with. He's gotten a little bit better, but when you're in a tight ball game against a team that was just in the AFC Championship game, you know, that's something that you've got to make that throw if you're going to be a team that's going to compete for a playoff spot. If you want to just be, you know, 6-9 or whatever it is, 8-8, like 7-9, 8-8, then fine, you're going to miss that throw. But if you want to be a playoff team, that's a throw that has to be made.
Visitor Joel Klatt, lead college football analyst for Fox Sports, and the huge news today, Big Ten saying they're coming back. They'll be back by October 24th. Your reaction to that? Could you see the Pac-12 following suit?
The Pac-12 is in a much different situation because of, and I know a way around this, and this is not a political statement, but because of Governor Newsom in California. They've just got, you know, those schools in California are in a different boat right now because they can't even really get back to their facility at this point and start working out. So I think that that's a much different conversation. In fact, you saw a USC wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's a very good player, and he wrote a big passionate letter, and it wasn't to Commissioner Larry Scott of the Pac-12, it was to Governor Newsom saying, hey, please let us play. So a very different conversation out west here. As it relates to the Big Ten, I'm happy for those players that they're going to get a chance to play. They've procured a daily testing partnership that is really the impetus to this from a medical perspective. They have seen and been shared the data from the Big 12 and the SEC, who have had a number of positive cases, and myocarditis has not been an issue because of the early detection that they have and the battery of testing as soon as someone has a positive test for COVID. So all of those things led to this. And then I think that the October 24th date, it was a bit of a negotiation. The coaches, in particular Ryan Day in Ohio State, wanted to play as soon as possible. A lot of people were saying October 17th. But I think that they landed on the 24th as somewhat of a negotiation, in particular because one school in particular, Wisconsin, is dealing with a heavy number of positive cases currently. And so they wanted to give enough time so that those positive cases can reduce themselves and then they can move forward and not have these stops and starts. Because with an 8-game schedule, it's going to be imperative that they get all 8 of those games in if they want a team to compete in the college football playoff. The reason being, Mike, we still don't know what the baseline number of games it is that's going to be required in order to be included into that playoff. And I think all of those conversations will come up shortly. But I'm happy for the players. This is what they wanted. They opted into this season. Those that want to opt out can do so. So the ones that want to play are going to be able to play, and I think that that's an important piece to this puzzle.
I'm happy for you because I can't wait to see you back where you belong in the Big Horseshoe at Ohio State. I mean, I can't wait. Right?
Seven times last year, man. I got to say, that second mortgage in Columbus was not going to be good this year. I will tell you, though, this is going to be so exciting because now, Mark, I'm going to have this Big 12 season until October 24th, and then we're going to have the 8 games with the Big 10. So it's going to be like 2 seasons. And I am expecting, by the way, I didn't want to just throw cold water on the Pac-12. The Pac-12 will play at some point. I do believe that they're probably more in line with a January start, which means that I'm going to work for like the next 30 weeks. I'm going to be doing college football until March, which is, by the way, in my world, awesome.
Hey, you live in the belly of the beast. You live in Southern California.
And I love it, boys. The Clippers fans are hurting today. Oh, they thought they had them.
Listen, Joel, it's you know, they're Clipper fans, but let's be honest. I mean,
they're used to it.
It's the Lakers, okay? The Lakers are number one out there, and I want to know, are you going to be brave enough to wear your Nuggets gear out in Laker country?
I mean, you really think I have Nuggets gear? I mean, let's be honest. Mark, this guy worked with me for the better part of 2 years, and he has the audacity to ask that question. Well, that would be like him being like, hey, Joel, how was the camping trip last weekend?
That's right.
Well, Mike, I didn't slap my forefathers in the face because they slept outside for their entire lives by sleeping outside now.
Well, you going to jump on the bandwagon?
Well, just because I don't have Nuggets gear doesn't mean, like, I don't have Broncos gear, right? I'm just not like the only thing I have is CU gear. Listen, I'm a Nuggets fan, man. I have been my whole life. This has been an amazing run, an amazing run. The only thing that's disappointing is I can't imagine how impassioned the fans would be at the Pepsi Center. I just wish that there were fans, right? You know, I mean, the bubble is great and all so that we get to see the games and we don't get stops and starts and everything, but one thing I know about Colorado's sports from growing up there and just knowing everybody still back there, you guys are some of the most passionate fans in sports, any sport in the country, and I wish that you all could be there to watch this amazing run. It's been fun to watch on TV.
Joel, I got to leave you with this. 2 things. I travel.
You know, Mark, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry. Just real quick. Yeah. I just lied to you. You guys know I don't watch the NBA.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I mean, I said it's been fun to watch on TV. It's been fun to read about the next day. Yeah. Apologies. Listen, I'm not sure. Facts. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Go ahead.
That doesn't bother me. There's two things.
Me. It was rude of me to lie.
There's two things that I want to leave you with as we let you go.
Yes.
One,
yes.
I traveled for the first time in March, and I thought about you as I was going through security because I carried my bag right up until the point I had to put it in the X-ray machine because of the hair on the rollers. And I actually looked at the rollers, and you were 100% correct. There were a million dog hairs. Like, how many dogs are traveling? Like, I've never really noticed it before, but I noticed that.
Here's the gross part. I think if it was dog hairs, I would be more inclined to put my bag up there. Those are human hairs. I can't even do.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'm going to leave you with this one because this one, I think you'll like this. Every time I start thinking that Stink is the most pompous man on earth, You guys bring on Joel Klatt. You're welcome.
It
makes your day.
Yeah.
It does. I did it. Thank you.
You're welcome, Joel. Thanks, buddy.
See you later, buddy.
That brings a tear to my eye. Yep. You're welcome.
Oh,
you're welcome.
There he goes.
He's probably an 8 a.m. texter.
Yes, he is.
Woke up at 8.
Yep.
He's a loser.
Oh, jeez. All right. See you, pal. Joel Klatt.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.